Ooh, welcome to the Watson Weekly, sponsored by Avalara. I'm Rick Watson.
Hi, it's Jessica Lisewski. We're back.
Didn't think you'd get rid of us this easily, could you? In today's Watson Weekly, the weekend edition, we have Target earnings. Who's the real CEO here? Takeaways from this week's Shopify investor events. And finally, our deep dive on the Amazon and OpenAI partnership / investment. And if you didn't know, the Watson Weekly is also available as a newsletter. Go to watsonweekly.com, like and subscribe, put your email address, but also like and subscribe to our channel. We would appreciate it.
That's right. And tell your friends. You don't want anyone to miss this. Don't keep it to yourself.
No, spread the joy.
That's right. Well, we're going to dive into Target, right, Rick? There was a lot to unpack in this earnings. Target, just to catch you up, they concluded 2025 with $104.8 billion in net sales. It was a 1.7 decrease, so a little womp-womp, as the company was trying to continue to work through the cautious consumer spending, although that was not the narrative for other retailers. Walmart cost. So we also had fourth quarter net sales being lower than Q4. And we had comparable sales decrease 2.5%. Store sales decline. It was not a rosy and sunshine story.
Yeah. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
Exactly.
I loved it.
But guys, just wait. We're on a turnaround. So Rick, tell us what was happening in this turnaround story.
All right. Come on, bright eyes. We're going to turn it around here. Growth. They did have growth in frequency categories like beauty and food and beverage. And of course, they have a new plan. They have a new strategy.
We got a plan.
We heard from Michael Fiddelke, who put us to sleep in the first half of the earnings call. Yet, Kara Sylvester, the new chief merchandising officer, was honest with us right out of the gate, saying the last 2 years have literally not met our expectations. So it was refreshing to hear that. A few other bright spots, they had growth in their high margin advertising revenue, their membership as well. Both of those grew by more than 25%. You know, Walmart is growing that business over 40% on a higher base. So 25% sounds great, but Walmart's GMV is growing like 30% again on a higher base online. And so that's a challenge. Target Circle 360, actually, this to me, Target Circle 360, if there's anything that's going to be the future of Target, that's going to be it, because they offer, it's their most premium membership loyalty program. It's unlimited same day deliveries. I'm a member and I like it. It seems like that increased something like 65, 70%. It's a good service. And I think, you know, just like Amazon became Prime, I'm kind of wondering if Target Circle 360 is going to become Target.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And we're the other, I think, interesting bright spot maybe was like this, we're number five in digital grocery command. woohoo. We're the fivers. So that was, I think, kind of an interesting victory lap, we'll say. But, you know, you talked about Kara being the main highlight. Does seem to know what she's doing. She seems to have a handle on the merchandising strategy, the corporate strategy. And if you look at like the word count, some of the themes, as like the peel back the curtain of what Target cares about, you know, growth at 21 times mentioned, experience 18 times, investment 15 times, delightful 11, style 11. So, you know, what was interesting about that, I think, is they are caring a lot about the experience. They know they got to get to growth. Michael was a little bit quiet in the background there.
You know, one of the things I watch at Target is like, why is it so hard to buy in pharmacies as well as Target these days? Things are locked behind the curtain. I was listening to any mention of that. Kara, no mention. The CEO, no mention. The only person I heard about it tangentially was from the CFO, who said that shrink has decreased, which I'm kind of maybe putting together that stuff isn't getting stolen off the shelves. And so they improved their margins 90 basis points as a result, which means to me, all the toothpaste, which is behind our shelves, like Free Crest, maybe more stuff is going to be locked up because the CFO really loves it.
Yikes. And I mean, why are we even talking about shrink? Is shrink a thing? Even NRF walked off the shrink train. So the fact that we're still talking about shrink in 2026. Exactly. And then I'll end with this. You know, there was the bright spot of, well, the turnaround's happening in Q1. We're on the upswing. Traffic's up. Guys, remember, that last year, this time, was the massive boycotts, the DEI backlash, yeah, as stuff was pulled off the shelf. There was only one place to go but up. So
right. We can't even comp that.
We can't even comp that.
That's not good. I mean, that's not a good time.
Yes, but here we go. We'll be on this turnaround train and see if the pages do flip.
If you know me, you know I don't mess around with my recommendations. And this is no exception. I've been recommending Avalara to clients for years. When we helped build the Anne Klein website, Avalara was the call. Here's the thing. Shopify's default tax settings are not enough. We're talking 12,000 plus tax jurisdictions just in the US, plus VAT across 190 countries. Avalara handles all of it automatically and right inside Shopify. Every client I brought them into is still running them today. Don't trust your tax and compliance to platform defaults. Learn more at avalara.watsonweekly.com today. And our next story, we are talking about Shopify's investor Vance Harley. He's on the roadshow right now. He went to Morgan Stanley. There was another event he did. You know, I listened into the Morgan Stanley one. Just to catch you up, he's all about agentic. He's talking about agentic commerce being the new front door to the market. And he believes that Shopify has a number of strategic moats. And that's a couple of things. One is trillions of data points and hundreds of millions, billions of transactions. All that GMV that runs through their network is the data that's needed to power the intelligence that is going to power the agentic commerce area. So Shopify seems to me to be positioning itself for any kind of eventual future. Like if this doesn't work out, then they're going to keep growing. If it does work out, then they want to be essentially the checkout that powers all of this new agentic commerce.
That's right, because to quote Harley, no enterprise wants to vibe code a checkout, and he is not wrong.
Right.
That is not the place you want to be spending your dollars. And, you know, for someone like an OpenAI or Perplexity, Claude, like, why do they want to get into the checkout business, take on more risk, to be like merchant of record? It's like nobody wants that. So Harley's like, put the stake in the ground. This is their playground. It's their sandbox. Don't take their toys.
Yeah.
They're running the show.
I really love this quote. And I think it kind of puts a little bit of a kibosh on the fact that all SaaS is going to be destroyed.
Right.
Because it says that basically all software is not created equal. Some software, the load required to create this, it's much easier to create a CRM system than it is to create a checkout that performs well on Black Friday, as even we saw Shopify itself went down part of Cyber Monday last year. Yes. So it's a challenge, even if you have thousands of engineers on it and it's not a vibe code on your weekend.
That is not, no. And people forget, you can vibe code something, but who wants to maintain? People get bored and tired.
Yes.
So I think that we do have like a little bit of a market simmering happening on this freak out moment. So what else kind of happened? As like Shopify was talking about this like strategy and where they're going, any other cool takeaways?
Yeah, the traffic from agentic applications increased 15 times between January of last year and January this year. Obviously, super small base, almost zero,
right.
15 times. You would kind of think it should be bigger, maybe. So there's something
like in internet e-commerce era.
there's something there. There is one thing that you wonder, even through all this. I mean, there are a lot of futures that Shopify is preparing for, but ultimately, if consumers trust the AI and merchants trust the AI, and Shopify is essentially middleware, if the consumer's wallet migrates from Shop Pay into the agents themselves and the wallet isn't separate from it in the long term, then there is, I still feel, existential risk to Shopify. They're obviously paddling like hell below the surface to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Because I think they also realize that that's a risk too. They're just not kind of saying that's out loud. They're just trying to create a future where that's not going to happen to them.
Right, exactly. It's a protection. And look, it's tough to be a company in this time where you're preparing for like four or five different outcomes because no one really knows what the future holds. So again, Shopify's been on the forefront. They will continue to be on the forefront and make themselves invincible. That's why they're good at what they do.
Our main story this week is Amazon and OpenAI, the frenemies now becoming friends. What's happening here? Just to catch you up, Amazon is investing $50 billion in OpenAI as part of a larger $110 billion funding round that values OpenAI at $730 billion. The deal includes an additional $100 billion commitments over 8 years to OpenAI to use AWS. And so Amazon doesn't give you something for free. If you think you're winning and negotiating with Amazon, you don't realize how bad you have it. And so Amazon is committed to using 2 gigawatts of capacity on Amazon's Trainium chips, which is like one of their fastest growing businesses, already a multi-billion dollar business. Anthropic and Amazon are slowly eating share from OpenAI. And now OpenAI has to use Amazon's chips as part of this. And so Amazon is betting that number one is like, we're going to own part of you, son. And then second is you're going to give that money back to us anyway. So it's almost like a cash advance.
It really is. I love it. It's like a, you know, so you can get that jet ski before the summer starts and you'll worry about paying it off later. But yeah, so it is Amazon will get theirs. As they giveth, they taketh. this $50 billion investment, it's split like the initial $15 billion Series C preferred stock, remaining $35 billion triggered by future events. Do we know what those future events are?
Yeah, it doesn't say, and there's been a lot of speculation about this. One of the outlets, GeekWire, reported on this story as speculated on what those future events might be, that if OpenAI generates artificial general intelligence, that it could unlock the next tranche of funding. It's not clear if that's correct or not. We don't know. We're not part of the deal, but it's interesting to talk about. At the end of the day, Amazon is trying to develop, their engine of growth is AWS. AWS is the chips, it's the data center, it's the software. And all of that, Amazon wants to be at the center of this agentic revolution. And so if OpenAI has the best models and AWS has the best data centers for developers, Amazon doesn't care if OpenAI wins because you'll just like plug in the OpenAI model on top of the Amazon chips, by the way, inside of the Amazon software that's inside of the Amazon data center. Amazon's okay with owning 90% of that transaction.
Everything happens in the Zon. Amazon had mentioned before they were, doing this $200 billion investment. Do you think this $50 billion and this strategy is part of that? It's separate?
I think it's separate because $200 billion is built to chase their own AWS business, like new chips, new data centers, increasing the capacity of their current data centers. This is almost like their investment arm. And so I think it comes from a different pot of money that Daddy Warbucks owns.
They found in the couch cushions.
Right.
Just $50 billion laying around.
Just a little 50 burr.
Yeah. So we know that Amazon wants the best models. They want to offer those within AWS. Do you think that there's any risk within this strategy to Amazon? Like, where have we seen any of this before? Like, consolidation around key players? What happens as some of these models either go away or essentially become irrelevant?
Yeah, I think the risk to Amazon is pretty low. Ultimately, look, if OpenAI has the best models and the best tools, then they become their own center of gravity, which kind of sidelines AWS. AWS really thrives in a world where there's different specialty models for different types of things. If OpenAI is the best of the best at everything, then you almost don't need an AWS account if you just run your agents in OpenAI. However, I think even Amazon, speaking of like we talked about their Shopify story, they're trying to prepare for every eventuality. They're trying to say that OpenAI has to use Trainium chips. So Amazon is kind of prepared for that upfront,
For sure. And then, we talked about where could we have like seen just kind of this era before. I think everyone's trying to figure out what is going on in the world. Is there like a dominant player? We know Anthropic, OpenAI have been in this Pentagon duking it out kind of situation. Do you see any parallels to like the search strategy and the Yahoo versus Google versus like quick commerce shopping? Like, do you feel like this is playing out somewhat similarly to that time?
Yeah. The only thing, if there was a brief period, and I would say it was about a year or two, where it felt like I was using 3 or 4 search engines at the same time. And then sometimes the next year, and that happened in the browser wars for about 4 or 5 years, where you were using Netscape, and then you were using IE, and then you were using Firefox. that happened, but then things tend to converge and consolidate. So I do feel like we're still on the funny, fuzzy front end of this revolution. Yeah. So from that point of view, where Google won was the quality of their model and the most relevant results. They yep. added monetization later. And I think Sam has maybe gotten that memo just by how quickly Gemini and Anthropic has caught up to and passed them. In certain cases, he declared a code, you know, quote unquote, code red, like Colonel Jessup from, you know, A Few Good Men. Yeah, he can't handle the truth, as we have seen, but he can handle a defense contract.
Sure can. Way to go. Yeah. So I do think that, not to go too far on this tangent, but a lot of people are feeling that way. I'm hearing and seeing more like, well, I use Gemini for this. I use OpenAI for this. I use Claude for this. And that context switching, first of all, is expensive. Those monthly fees add up and no one can maintain that. And then secondly, I think at one point there's got to be some catch up or surpassing, which we saw with what happened in Claude Code, Opus 4.6. Like that was really a game changer and kind of started this whole like SaaS aloft concerns in the first place. So do you think any of this Amazon OpenAI strategy helps them accelerate at all? Or it's just kind of another way to get some cash into OpenAI that they'll figure out what to do with?
Yeah, I think it's just another way to get more cash. OpenAI is not profitable, and I don't think they're going to be profitable anytime soon. I mean, just as another category leader like Uber, it took them 15 years to get to profitability, and they burned, you know, tens of billions of dollars in the process. I think OpenAI will easily burn hundreds of billions of dollars before they get to the point of profitability. And I think as long as their technology is the best, investors will keep lining up. To the extent that it looks like a foregone conclusion that they might lose, then it becomes a little bit different scenario.
Yeah. And I thought this was interesting too in this OpenAI Amazon story where nothing was really mentioned about like scraping or getting access to Amazon catalog. Like that is
What do you think's going on there, Jess?
That's the house is locked, man. Like it wasn't even mentioned. And I kept looking for it. Like, are we not talking anything about the commerce side, the catalog side? And we know that that's really just been a walled garden and Amazon is letting no one in. I'm not surprised, I guess, but I thought that there would be some nod at least to a commerce experience. Yeah. I mean, is Rufus just going to keep powering himself or, you know, are we not going to see some level of, hey, all right, Amazon's going to give a little bit of their catalog over. Do you think that's going to happen here at all?
Yeah. I mean, Rufus is going to keep kicking along. After I saw this deal signed, I took Amazon's robot.txt file, which determines which bots are blocked, and I plugged it into OpenAI and it said, yep, still blocked. And so Sam did not get any new access. Sorry, buddy. And so that's a challenge. But from our stories, obviously there's a few deal triggers. They're not going to get the whole number. So where is that $30 billion that come in? Negotiating with Amazon is notoriously difficult. So I tend to feel that even though OpenAI got the cash, a fair amount of that cash is coming back to them because their best models have to be using Amazon chips, which again goes back to Amazon. And so, you know, OpenAI is getting $50 billion. Amazon could be getting trillions on the back end of this as they grow their AWS business.
Yeah. And let's talk about where's Microsoft in this play at all? Like
they gone.
They gone? They still are the major investor, right? Major owner. I guess you let them hang out in the house, but I mean, the Azure, AWS, it's kind of nuts to see a deal structured like this with something that Microsoft has so much of a stake in. Can you unpack that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like it creates some risk for Microsoft, but it looks to me like Amazon was one of the leads on the deal. And ultimately, it's about the chips. And so Amazon wanted some assurances that they're not going to be locked out of OpenAI. I mean, Amazon, for its part, is preparing for the eventuality that OpenAI might win. And if you want the winner to be using your chips, because if the best model isn't on your chips, then your chips are probably going to fall behind and that threatens your business here. On the other side, Microsoft Copilot is sort of like still MIA, you know, might as well call it Co-Clippy at this point. But I think OpenAI needs to diversify its investors and realize that its funding sources can't just come from one player. It needs to play the field a little bit. Like, You know, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with.
That's right. Oh, that's so special. Love. Okay. And then let's talk about this defense contract as we wrap up, because we talked about Anthropic, OpenAI, even late breaking news, Anthropic's back at the table with the Pentagon. Oh. But OpenAI was like, we'll do the deal. Sounds good. We'll take your cash. And that's right. And they've lost some customers as a result, right?
Yeah, OpenAI seems to have lost some customers, or at least the ones that are paying attention at the moment. And so the number of cancellations seems to have increased a lot in OpenAI. That tends to happen, and then people tend to come back if it's the best solution. So we'll see what happens. But the sheer commercial lack of principles from OpenAI, whatever you want to call it, is is amazing to watch in real time.
I like that we have principles, but then we don't have principles situation. And that's kind of one of the morals of the story too, right? When you don't really take stands and people don't really know what you stand for, you don't have anything really to lose.
Correct.
Sounds like OpenAI, Target, doing a full circle, 360. Yeah. Woohoo! You see how I brought that around?
I love it, Target 360.
Yeah, so if you claim to be high-minded, I think you put yourself at risk.
Exactly. No one is seen to be bringing up in this discussion that Amazon was one of the first with a classified intelligence cloud. They have many defense contracts, and they're investing in OpenAI. And they're a big investor and part owner of Anthropic, who doesn't seem to want to take defense money, yet the money sort of flows around. So it's all flowing, folks.
Like in the whole surveillance thing, it's all in the mix, and people still getting their Prime packages, not canceling there.
Yeah, it's like going back to The Wire. Clay Davis wants to introduce you to the faucet. I think OpenAI is trying to find the faucet. Like, where's that money faucet? Keep it flowing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I feel like this is a great place to wrap. Super interesting to see how this unfolds. And it is like the AI wars is what it feels like we're in. And there will be only a few winners, and Amazon for sure will be in that ring.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us in this discussion. In the meantime, stay classy, be bold, and see you next week.
Have a great weekend.